It's Ask the Expert with attorneys Charlie Cochran and Rachel Erickson on Newstalk 1350 and FM 103.5 KSRO. Ask your legal questions by calling the show at 707-636-1350.
Hi, folks. Charlie Cochran here live in the KSRO studio with you every Monday from noon to 12:30. I come in here with my partner, Rachel Erickson, and we talk about some aspect of the law. Now, you can call us down at the studio here for free at 636-1350. That's 636-1350. And we'll answer your question, legal question, live on the air. So give us a call at 636-1350. Now, as you know, you can always visit our website at kcehlaw.com. That's kcehlaw.com. You can also get us through CaliforniaAttorneysAtLaw.com. You can reach us down at the office at 544-9006. That's 544-9006. Every week we come in here and we talk about some aspect of the law. Now, today we're going to talk about defamation, but we're also going to talk about defamation over the internet. Now, generally, defamation is a false and unprivileged statement of fact that is harmful to someone's reputation and published with fault, which means you have to be negligent or you have to have malice. Now, state laws vary on the definition of defamation, but it's enough to know there's two types of defamation. One is libel, which is the written word, and slander, which is an oral defamation. So you can have two types of defamation. The elements of defamation are essentially that it is understood as a defamatory comment, being of and concerning the person, the plaintiff, and tending to harm the reputation of the plaintiff. So those are the three elements. Now, most importantly, in civil cases, we're talking about damages. Have you had damages as a result of the defamatory comment? So we've been set up now to talk about defamation. Now, sometimes people ask, well, what if it's the truth? The answer is that, yes, truth is an absolute defense to a defamation claim. But keep in mind that the truth may be difficult or expensive to prove. Rachel, what do you think?
Well, I think that's absolutely true. I mean, if you say, Jane, you ignorant slut, and Jane is indeed ignorant and a slut, that's truth. So, you know, that's a defense. So, I mean, and I think that that's a good example to use today because it could really be defamatory or it could not be, depending on the context. And context is always important. So can it be expensive? Yes, it can. Jane will have to improve that she is not ignorant, therefore perhaps an IQ test, and also that she is not a slut, and that is going to be hard to prove.
And that she suffered damages as a result.
And that's the biggest part. What are her damages?
Yeah.
I mean, honestly, it's one thing if somebody says, you're a dumbass and your feelings are hurt. Okay, so what? But if somebody sends out a message saying you're a child molester and sends that to every but one of your business contacts, then, you know, that might be a problem. So what we're really talking about today is, you know, Charlie's giving us an overview of general defamation law, which applies online, but then we're going to go sideways and go into the specifics of online defamation because it's such a big topic now.
Now, what about opinion? I mean, the fact is somebody says, it's my opinion that you are an ignorant slut. I mean, the bottom line is somebody's entitled to their opinion. So
it has to be a verifiable fact. I mean, you can't just say, oh, it's, you know, if you say it's my opinion, you can have an opinion about anything. That's not defamation.
Right.
And my opinion is you're stupid. And so what? You know, that's your opinion. My opinion is you're ugly. You're stupid, fat, and ugly. And so is your little dog. I mean, you can have your opinion.
I mean, every morning, you know, on Bob and Sherry, Lamar comes out and says, it's my opinion that this movie is only worth one bud rather than six buds.
Budweiser's.
Budweiser's. So Lamar says his opinion, and the bottom line is his opinion is not defamatory. But if he also says, it's my opinion that that George Lucas broke into the IRS database, the bottom line is that he might say it's his opinion, but he's accusing George Lucas of a crime.
And you cannot accuse people of crimes because that is going to be looked at as probably defamatory.
Right.
And that's reprehensible, and it can cause damages just by its very nature. Saying you are a felon, basically, is defamatory.
And
even if you say it's my opinion, that if you say it's my opinion he's a felon, that's different than saying it's my opinion that he actually on Tuesday afternoon broke into, James Bond broke into the laboratory on Tuesday afternoon and stole, $5 million worth of laboratory equipment.
So when we're talking about defamation, we're talking about something called a verifiable fact, right? So the bottom line is, if it conveys a provable false fact that someone has committed a murder or cheated on his spouse, the bottom line is that a verifiable fact? And if you said Charlie's one of the top 10 dumbasses I've ever known, that's opinion, okay? So... All right. So the bottom line is it has to be a verifiable fact. Did somebody commit a murder? Did somebody commit a crime? Just calling somebody dumb in and of itself is not defamation. Somebody says you lack intelligence. Well, that's their opinion. I mean, the bottom line is it's not a verifiable fact. So is there a difference, Rachel, between public figures and private figures?
Yes.
And the fact is, when we're talking about people that already thrust themselves into the limelight, that's a public figure. Somebody that's a politician, somebody that ran for office.
You're actors and actresses. I mean, if you're a public figure, somebody that everybody kind of generally knows about, they have to show that there was an actual malice behind the defamatory statement, which means they knew or should have known that it would harm their reputation, harm their business.
Part of the public policy in that situation is that the public figure has an easy access to the microphone.
And for just your regular person who's not a public figure, your private figure, just us out there, all you have to show is that a reasonable person would not have published that statement. A reasonable person would find that defamatory. And so that's an easier bar. It's an easier threshold to meet if it's just a private person than if you're a public person, you're inviting comment, I think is the way they look at it.
Absolutely. And examples of public figures could be, for example, as we said, politicians, city attorneys, an attorney for a corporation that organized a recall, somebody that actually thrust themselves in the public, a land developer seeking approval for housing near a toxic chemical plant has thrust themselves into the public. And so members of an activist group that have actually went out on strike or petitioned somebody, I've actually thrust themselves into the public. So those are public figures as opposed to private figures. Now, Rachel, we said once we covered the defamation concepts of libel, slander, public opinion, public figures, private figures, etc., we were then going to talk a little bit about the internet.
Yeah, well, let's talk a little bit about the internet. First of all, we're not really talking here about reporting. There is a right for reporters and people to report on public proceedings. As long as it's a fair and true report, you can't go sideways on that. But we're not really going to get into that. What we really want to talk about today is, let's say, we're going to talk about writing things on the internet, reading things on the internet, because there are a few differences. For the most part, you're going to find that writings on the internet, defamatory statements on the internet, do fall under the same laws as traditional newspaper, spoken telephone, you know, whatever kind of defamation is out there, a mean fax that goes out to everybody. Those same rules do apply to online communications. There are some differences, though, and I do want to point out that cyberbullying is also a crime. So if you feel like you've been bullied, harassed, or stalked to such an extent that it could be a crime, you're going to want to call your local district attorney's office here in Sonoma County. They'll take your calls. And really, if you're feeling extremely distressed and feeling like you're being stalked, harassed, or bullied online, go to the DA's office. Keep a copy of everything that you think is defamatory. You can either take a screenshot of it or save it with its metadata and all of that. Take it down to the DA's office, or at least call them first and say, here's what's going on, and they'll let you know whether that is a crime or not. We are not criminal attorneys, so we're not here to talk about that today, but I just wanted to let you know that it is actually codified, and it is a crime in California. So, and it isn't everywhere. So now I want to also point out that there are some federal laws that apply here, and there are also state laws that apply here. So what we're going to talk about now is just in general, we've got things like you've got bloggers who are out there writing articles, and there's a lot of those out there now. You've got people posting stuff on things like Facebook, Instagram, Snapchat, Twitter, all your social media sites. And then there's the questions of when is a blogger liable, or a writer of an article, when are they liable for libel? When is Facebook liable, which is almost never? When is any kind of intermediary, which is, let's say the Press Democrat has articles, but they also have commentary sections where you can make your comments. And that in that way, they're not only a provider, but they're also an intermediary dealing with the comments. So any site that has comments, they're going to be an intermediary, and the laws are going to be different because of the online presence. So we'll talk a little bit more about that when we come back from the break, and we'll try and break that down for you so that you understand how you, as a person out there in the public, can avoid any sort of problems or to be aware of when a problem might affect you.
Petaluma hears FM News Talk Radio, KSRO, on Crystal Clear FM at 94.5.
Hi, this is Rachel Erickson from Kornblum Cochran, Erickson & Harbison. All attorneys think that they can represent auto accident victims, but not all can do it well. So the injured person needs representation that is personal, thorough, and well-versed in the law as it changes over time. You can count on all of these qualities in our attorneys and staff at Kornblum Cochran, Erickson & Harbison. Call us at 707-544-9006.
For more information, go to kcehlaw.com.
At Progressive, we think your floral boutique is the bee's knees. In fact, it's all the bee's knees in every hive of bees in all the trees from here to Belize. Please. Everyone agrees. You deserve the expertise of Progressive Business Insurance, with over 40 years of experience helping busy bees and their knees glide with ease like a gentle breeze. So whether you're a worker bee, a queen, or none of these, buzz over to ProgressiveCommercial.com, if you please. Faster than a bee's knees as he pollinates the leaves of three trees. Progressive Casualty Insurance and Affiliates.
It's Ask the Expert with attorneys Charlie Cochran and Rachel Erickson on Newstalk 1350 and FM 103.5 KSRO. Ask your legal questions by calling the show at 707-636-1350.
Now, Charlie Cochran here with Rachel Erickson, and this is Monday's edition of Ask the Expert. If you want to give us a call down at the studio, you can call us at 636-1350. That's 636-1350. Today we're talking about defamation, slander, libel, and the internet. Now, Rachel, before the break, was talking a little bit about the fact that Facebook, for example, as the host, usually will not be held liable.
As a matter of fact, there is a federal statute that actually is very broad, that governs protections of what they call intermediaries or hosts. And what that is saying is that the host program or the host program, let's say Facebook, for example, which is a perfect example because most people out there use Facebook or know people who use Facebook, or even if you don't have a Facebook account, you may look at somebody else's or post stuff on there maybe if, well, you have to have an account to do that. Never mind. But anyway, point is let me give you an example of Facebook. First of all, Facebook is protected by this broad statute, which is Section 230 of the Communications Decency Act, which is a United States statute. And
so that means it applies to all the states.
It applies across the board, and it preempts any state law, which means if California says, no, we don't agree with Section 230, the federal law says no. You have to. You don't have a choice. So they're going to come in and say, no, California, you have to get rid of your law because this is our law. And what that basically says that when somebody takes somebody else's statements and publishes them, let's say, for example, a blog is a really good, this is really aimed at bloggers or article writers online, which, you know, let's say you quote somebody else in your article, and it says, generally, if you're using somebody else's statement that could potentially be defamatory, the person who is repeating the statement, generally, let's say under state law, if you repeat a defamatory statement, generally, the republisher is still going to be held liable. That's how that works. So let's say, you know, somebody says, Jane, you're an ignorant slut. And let's say that they say that that is defamatory. And then Charlie says, well, Rachel said, Jane, you're an ignorant slut. Then that would also be held as defamatory. Again, a republishing. So, but what they're saying here is, and that's the general law, as long as they knew or had reason to know that it was defamatory. Now, so what they're saying in Section 230 of the Communications Decency Act of 1996 is that intermediaries are not liable for republishing speech done by others. And by speech, I don't mean spoken speech. I mean, you know, written things. So let's say that Charlie says, Jane, you're an ignorant slut. And then I write that on my blog that Charlie said that Jane's an ignorant slut. And I'm redistributing.
Republication.
I'm republishing that out there. So that would generally, I would not be held liable for that as the person reposting that on my blog. Now, Charlie may still be, you know, held liable for that. And the interesting thing about that, and I'm a little off the topic that I really wanted to go down, but that's what happens sometimes when you get in these topics, is one of the questions that comes up for people who do like to write articles online, whether it's a blog or just a one-time article, or you're, you know, publishing it for some other reason, is can that be covered by insurance? Because, you know, you want to cover yourself. If I say, well, what was the example? Well, Charlie, you know, robbed the grocery store at 12 o'clock last night. Therefore, he's a jerk. Well, the defamatory statement would be he, you know, robbed the grocery store, presuming it's not true, and that he's a jerk may be my opinion. So I could actually be held liable for saying that he robbed a grocery store when he didn't.
Yeah, but let's talk a little bit about insurance, because
that's where I'm going.
That's where we're experts at.
So if I'm going to say that and, you know, allege that he's a felon for, you know, an armed robbery, then can you be insured for that? Probably not for armed robbery so much, but can I be liable for the defamatory statement or that Charlie committed an armed robbery? And can you be insured for that? Well, the answer is maybe. You can purchase internet insurance. You can purchase specific insurance for that, but generally it's pretty expensive. Generally, you're going to have a premium of $2,500 for a $1 million limit, and your deductible is generally going to be about $5,000. So, Charlie, explain what that means.
Well, for example, if you have homeowner's insurance, usually the homeowner's insurance...
I'm not talking about homeowner's insurance yet. I'm talking about specific online internet exposure insurance. They actually have a policy for that. So, right. I was just saying, never mind, but you can go into homeowners. If what I was saying is just that you're going to pay $2,500 for a $1 million limit annually. So that's what you pay to get coverage up to $1 million. So somebody sues you for $500,000, you're covered.
Yeah.
Now, and you're deducted, but you're going to have to pay $5,000 of that. So that's all I was asking. So now, if you want to talk about when does homeowner's insurance or renter's insurance apply,
Answer is hardly never, because you can't usually buy just general insurance to cover an intentional act. That's under the California Insurance Code 533. But here's the thing. You may be covered under an umbrella policy. I've run into the situation where people are covered under an umbrella policy even if they committed a defamation.
Well, let's back that up just a minute, because this is actually an interesting conversation that we can have, because you're presuming that the defamation is intentional, but what about your average person to person, where I'm going, Charlie, you're a felon, and that's just me calling you a felon, and there's no intent to defame you there. Mm-hmm. That's just a negligent defamatory statement. Mm-hmm. So do you think that would be covered under homeowner's insurance?
If usually under most policies, it caused bodily injury or property damage.
So if I say that to you and you end up having a heart attack over it, then, you know, there you go. You might be covered. The problem is with that I see is that even if it is covered, which you're going to have a difficult argument with that, but even if it is covered, there's going to be an exclusion for punitive damages. So
absolutely,
they always exclude punitive damages for anything under any insurance policy. So now, but you're saying an umbrella policy might cover it.
Yeah, if you have an umbrella insurance policy, which is what you buy over and above your homeowners and your auto insurance, if you buy an umbrella policy, which I have one, I'm probably going to be covered under that, because that's more general. That's more an umbrella policy covers almost everything. So if it occurs that I write something against somebody, my homeowner's policy probably won't cover it, but the umbrella policy will.
Okay. I agree with that. So if you do not have an umbrella policy, you may or may not be covered. Probably not. If you're the writer, if you're the recipient and you are defamed, the point of this is if you are the defamed party and you want to sue somebody for defamation, you can do that all day long. But whether you're actually going to, number one, come up with, you know, a verdict or settlement in your favor is, you know, questionable. And then on top of that, can you collect any sort of verdict or settlement is a separate topic. And we've talked about that a lot. There's a big difference between actually obtaining a verdict, settlement, judgment versus being able to collect on it. And that is a perfect time to discuss. It was a case in North Carolina that was pretty interesting, where one woman, there were these two ladies that knew each other through a radio show or a radio station that they had some involvement about. Maybe they were going to take it over together. And they kind of ended up, I don't know, getting into some sort of difficulties with each other, I guess. But one of them posted on a Facebook thread that at least I don't get drunk and kill my child. And the other lady who read this on the thread felt that it was aimed at her because her son had actually died when he was 11, and he was shot by another kid while they were playing with guns. And she was not drunk, and she did not have anything to do with her son's death. It was these two kids playing together, and one kid shot the other, and her 11-year-old died as a result. So as you can imagine, it was absolutely horrifying to her to have this happen, and then for her to prove that it was defamatory, she had to prove that it was not true, so she had to go back and relive all this stuff about, you know, getting back into the evidence, getting back into what happened so that she could prove that this was defamatory because she chose to sue the other party for defamation. So keep in mind that this was posted on Facebook. Of course, Facebook under Section 230 that we discussed earlier is not going to be held liable. So what happened? They actually ended up going through a lawsuit, and at some point they ended up with a settlement, and the settlement ended up being for $500,000, $250,000 for her general damages for her pain and her suffering and, you know, all the horrible things she had to go through, and then $250,000 for punitive damages. So that's great. She's got the settlement. She will probably never be able to collect it. Never.
Unless
so let's
the person
end.
Has assets.
Unless they have assets, and then it's really hard to collect. So just in closing, for me, there is generally a 1-year statute of limitations on defamation, on libel in California, and it starts when the statement is first published to the public. Though if you can't identify the person who actually did the defamation, the defendant, the plaintiff may, you might be able to have a little bit more time to file a claim or a lawsuit. So, and there's a lot more we could discuss on the topic, but just be aware that anybody just saying something that's stupid and mean and being a troll isn't necessarily defamation, though it may be. And what are you going to do about it is a different subject entirely.
Well, and I just want to remind everybody that Rachel and I have the largest verdict in Sonoma County history in defamation.
And in Mendocino County.
And in Mendocino County. Now, in Mendocino County, it was a little bit different, but we can talk about that on another day. We've been talking today about defamation,
defamation, libel, slander.
Libel and slander, truth, opinion, etc. And I hope everybody feels a little bit more confident about what is defamation and what is not defamation. I'm Charlie Cochran with Rachel Erickson, and this has been Monday's edition of Ask the Expert.